Where are you? Are you in bed? Or are you leaving the first human footprint on Mars? Are you jogging? Or are you about to pull off the heist of the century? Are you in your car? Or are you praying those red eyes in the darkness can't see you? A voice in your ear can take you anywhere.
Audible. Get your first audiobook for free and feel every word. $7.99 a month after 30-day trial. Starts automatically. Terms apply.
Every time he sees me, his eyes light up. I can almost hear his heart beat faster. He looks at me the same way he did when we first met. For him, it's love at first sight every day. For me, it's heartbreaking.
Loving someone who's living with dementia is not easy. For support, advice, or to make a donation, visit dementiasa.org.
You're listening to VUCA Online.
You are rocking with the best.
The Hope Makers Show, bringing hope to the world, one conversation at a time.
Oh, no. Oh, hold on. You are on Leadership. You're on the VUCA Online Radio, and we are on the Hope Makers Show. This, well, it's afternoon on my side of the world, but it's morning on Mike's world. My guest today, as usual, you know that around this time, we essentially just go and have conversations about how do we best bring hope to the world and to everybody that's around. So I have to switch all of that noise because, you know, we always have this stuff. I don't want it to disturb me, because the guest that we have today, when he was growing up, he wanted to be a superhero and astronaut and be also a teacher. But now he is talking to me from Cape Canaveral. And interestingly, Mike, for us here in the Global South, one of the interesting thing about the hope that's presented by the Cape Canaveral itself in terms of being the space center and where you essentially have the possibility of going into space has always been a place that's fascinating. So I have a very adult excitement that I'm kind of pretending not to feel right now about this conversation. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Mangese, Dr. Mangese. I'm Mike Mongo, and I am an astronaut teacher, and I just got selected to be Space Plus 5 commercial crew, and I'm very happy to be here and really, really excited about our conversation.
Yeah, me too. Let's kick it off. You started it very nicely, so we don't have any structured questions. By the end of the day, we'll have spoken about hope and figured out where we go. We have music in between. But what do you want the listeners to know about you other than, astronaut teacher? Who is Mike Mongo?
I'm a person that people can reach out to.
Okay.
I think that's a great start.
Yeah.
I am accessible.
Yes.
I think that accessibility is one of those things that helps support everyone to move forward or move everything forward.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I think that we're at a wonderful moment. There's a joke that I've heard so many times about a curse. May you live in interesting times.
Yes.
And I live for interesting times. One of my friends, Jessica Yatrovsky, she's a fine artist in New York City. And she said, Mike, the thing about you is that when there's a problem or a situation, most people will run away from it, and yes, you run to it.
Yes.
And I have another friend, Bishop John Carey, and he came and stopped by my house. I lived in Key West. I'm from Key West, and this is years ago. And yes, he stopped just to tell me this. He said, yes, "You, Mike, you have to leave the low hanging fruit for other people. And you're one of the people that as a grown man can climb to the top of the mango tree.
Yeah. And
you have to leave
Oh, we got disconnected there, Mike, for a moment. I don't know what happened.
Can you hear me now?
There you go.
He said, thank you. So he said, you have to leave the problems. You help on everything. You have to stop that. You must stop. And I'm surprised that he's telling me this.
Yeah.
And he says, not every problem is for you. Yeah. There's people who want to start helping others.
Yes.
And we have these simple problems and simple challenges put in front of us, including helping somebody who has a flat bike tire, including helping someone carry the groceries to the car. Little things that other people can run to. But if you're running and catching every single one of them, then it doesn't leave any space for anyone else to grow. Because you can go to the, like he said, the top of the mango tree, and you can take care of that problem that is such a challenge for other people. And that's good. That's what you should be doing. But you must leave the low hanging fruit for others.
For others.
And that is an important lesson.
Yeah.
It really landed for me. And because it would even affect my schedule. I would call ahead and say, I'm not going to make it. I get to help with this situation here. I get to help with this situation here, and it would throw off schedules, and that was unfair as well. To tell you the truth, because our regard for one another's time—that's the real commodity. That's how we really can treasure someone by being on time. We can show that we respect and honor them, and then when we're not going to be on time, to call ahead and renegotiate.
Yeah, and I want to have a bit of an interesting debate about that as well. Because it's one of my favorite topics to speak about. I have someone here who wants to leave the studio very quickly, so we're going to take a quick break and get a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, or whatever it is that you want to drink we take a quick break, and then we'll be back and catch up with Mike. Two things I want to talk to you about. I think already that compliment is a major compliment. What somebody has just said to you there, in this
Bishop season. John Carey.
Bishop John Carey has said to you. But I think it is also important, I think, when we talk about this concept of time, because I always view it as respect, right? It's a commodity that all of us have. But I continuously have this whole paradoxical relationship with it. Does time exist? Why are we making so much about time? And being an African on this side of the world, our conceptualization of time is particularly interesting. So I want to explore some of that as we go everywhere where this conversation is going. You are on VUGA Online Radio, and we are on the Hope Maker Show. We are talking to Hope Maker, a Hope Maker called Mike Mongo. He is an astronaut teacher and author of a children's book, The Astronaut Instruction Manual. He is vice president of the Interstellar Space Science Maker Group, a nonprofit Icarus Interstellar. Strategic director for a biennial Interstellar Space Science Summit. I mean, I haven't even started.
I got all of those things. Yeah, that's all right. I'm not worried about that. Thank you.
We will be back after this.
Highway Harley Davidson. There are no words.
Broadcasting worldwide, online 24/7.
It's VUGA Online, your inspiration radio station.
Welcome back to the Hope Maker Show. And I really love this show, man. I mean, I think we are like in episode 16 or 17 or something like that. And when we started this whole conversation, we actually had no idea where it was going to go. And some of the people I've had to speak with, You said earlier when we spoke about how do you create hope in the world, you model it. I loved that, because that's essentially what we're trying to do. We're really just trying to create a space for people to see people like you who live in that space. But just before we went to a break, you raised something which is very important to me as a principle and a value around respect and time and all of that. But then here is my paradox. Many times I'm stuck in the space that says time doesn't exist. We created it. What do you say to that statement?
Okay. So Mangezi. All right. So at the beginning, when we were talking about the show and what's possible, I said I know how to present hope in the world, and my answer was to model it, to model hope, and to model what that is to others. Yes. And I think that's an important step forward. And it is the same is also true for some behaviors like being on time and I was the worst at being on time.
Wow.
I was terrible at it. I'm not saying that with pride. There's no smile on my face. I've had a smile on my face this entire time until this moment. And because now I'm touched on the shame that I now feel for how I used to treat other people's time. Because we share, you and I are sharing time right now.
Absolutely.
We're sharing this experience together. So it's your time and my time. That makes it our time. That's how I understand it now.
Yes.
I went through some trainings. And trainings are important to become the best version of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Whatever the training is. I know people who have problems with alcohol and drugs, and they go through rehabilitation. And in the U.S., they have AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and Narcotics Anonymous. And other people go to church, and they get the lessons there. Some people go to school, train to be a nurse, and they learn the most important lessons there.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where we learn the lessons, as long as we learn the lessons.
Yes.
There's an important saying that I was given: one light, many lamps.
Mm-hmm.
So help me goodness.
Yeah.
One light, many lamps. Yes. And so it doesn't matter where we find it, as long as we find it.
Yes.
And when I was going through one of the trainings, someone did not show up on time for a meeting that I had scheduled at, and I was incensed. I was infuriated.
Yeah.
How dare they use my time like this?
Yes.
And the person who I was responsible to, the person who was walking me through the process, asked me, "Where does this show up in your life?" Like, I was so upset by it. And she asked me to reflect, "Where does that behavior show up in my life?"
Mm.
And off the cuff, I said, "Oh, you mean besides with my fellow classmates?" And then I said, besides with you. And then I said, besides with the other trainers. And then I just, and in my, I was, I, at first I was being flippant. And then I said, and besides with my family and besides with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Choked up just right now, just thinking it. And it went from a joke to, oh my gosh, this is why I am in. I just did this. All of this training, it lasted for 6 months. It was the final week.
Yeah.
And suddenly every bit of it landed. And the reason I was there is because of this disregard I had for other people's time, which is in fact disregard for my own time, my own space, my own purpose. Mm-hmm. I broke down. I broke down in tears. I was ashamed. And she asked me, what's coming up for me?
Yeah.
And where does this come from? And I knew exactly where it was. It was when I was a child. I was the one that at the game or at the school or at the event was the last to be picked up.
Yeah.
I was the last one that somebody would come for me. And I was ashamed every single time. It just, over the years, I started to realize I was going to be the last one picked up. And teachers would wait, be with me while they're waiting for someone to come pick me up. And I could see, even as a child, the expressions on their face and how that they were not happy to be there waiting with me. And as I grew up, I said, I am not, everybody's going to wait for me. When I grow up, everyone's going to wait for me. Wow. They're going to wait for me. And I would, and I developed a set of skills that people were dependent on with technology.
Yes.
And I would say, oh, you have to wait. They're like, we need you here now. I'm like, you'll have to wait. As a grown up, I'm 57. This is not that many years ago. Yes. And as a grown up, and I would show up 8 hours late. I would like, you gotta wait. All of that, every bit of that, all the power of that came to me at that moment.
Yes.
As a grown up in that training.
Yes.
And it was like it was as if I walked out. If I zipped out of one skin, peeled that off, and left it there.
Yes. Wow. Wow.
And now when I am at I'll give myself a minute.
Yeah.
A minute, two, three. If I'm to be there at a time, I will be there at that time. I'll give myself as a human being one, two, 3 minutes. Yes. But if it's any more than that, then I'm going to reach out before, not after.
Yes.
And renegotiate and say, may I have an extra 5 minutes, please?
Yes.
Because you and I are sharing this space together. And that is, and so this leads to the question that you had posed, is time real?
Well,
so time is a way we express existing. That's like I exist, you exist, and that's real. You exist and I exist.
Yes.
Philosophers have this discussion. Are we real? I don't have that discussion. I understand that I am real. Yes. You are real. When I work with students, with young students, explaining them that they exist and I exist. And I'm explaining this with children as opposed to grownups, because I'm not here to have that argument about whether or not we're real.
Yes.
I am here to talk about the phenomenon of us being real simultaneously, coexisting, twin phenomenons, you and I. And then, so this phenomenon that you and I are having right now, experiencing together, is being shared by people listening to our conversation.
Yes.
They're existing too. They actually exist. And we have these private moments, Mungizi. We're in our heads and we know that, and we walk through our day, and we can wake up and go through our day and do all the different things and be busy and not think about where we are, who we are, how we are, and then get to our shower and then get to bed without even giving one thought to the fact that we're really here and that all of this is happening around us for real.
Yes. Yes.
We can do that. We have that opportunity to miss all of that.
Yes.
Or we can take a second time and breathe and connect and recognize the world around us and the people that we're sharing space with.
Yeah,
and then the experience of what we call time slows.
Yeah,
and we experience it as slowing.
Yeah,
when you ask me, does time exist? Or when we talk about it, I don't think of time existing in the way that we have thought of it before. I think of the now happening simultaneously.
Yes.
For all versions of ourselves. So there's the past version of myself. There's the future versions.
Yes.
Past versions, future versions. And I can interact with those past versions. They're happening at the same time that I am, in the now.
In the now. Yeah. That's actually fascinating, the way you think about it. Because I actually was asking this question pretty much as a tongue in cheek, but when we talk about how in Africa, and particularly at least in my part of the world, we think about the concept of time. You always hear people going to African time and CP time and all of that nonsense. I get a bit quite incensed pretty much myself because it's fascinating. Your story in a way, I've had one, but I had to go through coaching because I looked at time in future terms continuously. It was never now. It was 15 minute slices of existence ahead. And I didn't know this because I thought that was normal, you know? And then one day, the best coaching experience I had with my coach was, and people would give you feedback about this, like, you're late for absolutely, because I was late for absolutely everything. And it wasn't out of disrespect. It was really just around, oh, I thought everything takes 15 minutes and I thought I'm Superman.
We didn't think it was out of disrespect. We didn't, we in our head, we had it that it wasn't, but.
Yeah, we were right. In our head, we were right, right? Sure. But the fantastic thing about that lesson, and I'm loving the fact that we're talking about this, because I think it's one of those conversations across the world that we need to continuously also engage with and interrogate. That says, what does respect look like for you? And part of it looks like being in the now with someone, and give them the now. Because immediately after I got out of that coaching conversation, I realized technically there's nothing like time management. There's management of events in time, and that event most of the time happens now. And if you can be here, it blew my mind. So I am like so connecting right now in terms of exactly what you're talking about. But let's move it on. Let's move it a little bit. Now, if we talk now in a much bigger context, and I want to extend it a little bit, and we're going to take music, but I want to throw this question. There's a lot that's happening in the world right now. And you spoke about working with children. You spoke about the whole concept of appreciating people now and all the lessons of respect. With that background, is there hope for the world, according to you, based on what's happening right now? So I'm curious.
Okay.
I'm curious to hear just your thoughts around that, and especially with the, because I have a different perspective. But let me just share it for now. Let's take a break. We need to take music. I'm getting a sign here that we need to go to a musical break. When we come back, we talk about this. I don't know what we're talking about, but
wonderful.
We're chatting. We'll be back on the Hope Maker Show after this. And here is Ty.
Don't take credit. Unexpected coming from a bank. But just think about it. Using credit to finance a flashy lifestyle to show that you've arrived won't help you live better. What's new today is old tomorrow, except for the debt that you still have to pay. But do take credit to renovate your home, buy a more reliable car, or pay for your children's education. If that's your goal, then Capitec will help you realize your dreams. Because living better starts when you get credit for the right reasons.
More music. More inspiration. Vuga Online.
My people, what does time mean to you? Welcome back to Vuga Online Radio and the Hope Maker Show. We are talking to Mike Mongo. Mike, your name, the Mongo last name. Tell us a little bit about that. Is that your real last name? First of all,
it is, and it's Caribbean. And so I am. I have a deep history in the Caribbean. So my family is Jamaican. Mongo is Cuban. I'm from Key West, which is 90 miles above Cuba. It's the southernmost point in the U.S. It has its own idea of time as well. There is regular time and there is Key West time. That is, I think you know exactly what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean.
That island time can be it can be tomorrow. It can be next week.
Yes.
And so getting that focused in on everybody and everybody being on the same page, because island time is a whole different consideration than everything else.
And
that's the background of my name.
Sounds good. So there's a lot happening in the world right now. And what is your sense about hope, given where we are in the world?
All right, so I have an idea. I'm gonna pose it to you. All right.
Sure,
so
sure.
All right, it is my premise, it is my conjecture,
yes,
that human beings have evolved.
Yes.
Evolved. And in the same way that once 40,000 years ago, Homo sapien lived alongside Neanderthal, today we live alongside Homo sapien. And it happened. And when the shift happened was approximately 200 years ago, when we began discussing the idea of evolution for the very first time. Mm. And then a portion of the population entertained the idea of evolution, and a portion of the population decided there's no such thing as evolution.
Mm.
We can jump back 2 to 4 million years ago, and we can imagine a set of monkeys in the tree living life, and the one group of monkeys saying, "Tree is for monkey is for tree," and the other group saying, "Yes, okay, so tree is for monkey and monkey is for tree, but what about underneath the tree, and what about over there where it's kind of wet, like what about over there where it's a lot higher?" And the first group said, "No, tree is for monkey. Monkey is for tree."
Yes.
If you jump forward to this, the future here in the present, that first group of monkey, that they're still in the tree. They are living in native lands. They live in zoos. They're still there. That other group, we've got iPhones and Teslas and satellites and high speed internet.
Yes.
Okay, so that moment took place 200 years ago when we began discussing the idea of evolution.
Yes.
And the first group said, "Wow, evolution is an amazing concept," and then considered this premise: where do we evolve to next?
Yes.
And the second group said, "There's no such thing as evolution. There's no such thing as evolution. We were put here for this reason. We don't have any determination on our future. We are here for this. This is all ours. We are destined to live in this sort of scarcity. Good life will not happen in this lifetime."
Yes.
200 years past, that first group has been thinking about where we evolve to.
Yes.
I believe that considering the idea of evolution itself catalyzes evolution.
Mm.
Whereas the second group, by saying there's no such thing as evolution, committed to not evolving.
Yes.
In 200 years, in just that short period of time, we have experienced the kind of evolution that the possibilities of what we can become as a species have begun to unfold. And we live alongside the people who decided not to evolve. And and that includes the belief in the idea of scarcity. Scarcity as a way of life.
Yes.
And I look at this world around us. I see that there's enough for all of us. I understand that there's 7.8 billion people on the planet. I also, as a person who's involved in the space industry and the culture of space, understand that there's enough here on the planet for all of us. When I'm talking with children, and I explain to them that on our planet, in our civilization, our society, we have a group of people, a very small select group of people, 500, who have more than enough, so much. And we have all the rest who don't have enough.
Yes.
What do we do?
Yes.
Children can solve that problem. It's an arithmetic problem.
Yes.
We have a group of people who have more than enough, way too much, and we have a group of people who don't have enough. How do we redistribute wealth and resources? Children can solve that problem. But we as grownups pretend that that is an insurmountable problem, or we did in the past. Mm-hmm. I have plenty of friends who I have a number of friends who are billionaires. I call them the B words.
Let me interrupt you. You look like you want to have a drink of water there for a moment.
got some tea. Yeah, I got a tickle in my throat.
I can see that.
Blessings.
You're very passionate about this topic. Go ahead.
Yes. So I have these friends who are billionaires. I have friends who are billionaires. I'm a grown-up and I have friends who are billionaires. So congratulations, Mike Mongo. Young Mike Mongo, you made it. You got to this place where you're
having
conversations. Yes. And they're awesome, wonderful people. I love them. And nonetheless, I am challenged by the role of billionaire. Mm. It is not the individual. People who are opposed, we can't be opposed to individuals who happen to be in that role. We created a model of civilization, society that enables that role. And it's upon us to re-spin the wheel and reconfigure it so that that role doesn't exist when it's to the disadvantage of all the rest of the population.
Yeah.
This is simple. This is not an argument. Politics or conflict. This is like, how do we make it work out for everyone all the time without harm to anyone?
Yeah. It's fascinating. You know what I like about the principles you're bringing. Many times when we talk about African philosophies of being and life and how we show up in the world, it almost looks like the world is going right back to reclaiming that humanity and catching up with it. Because the whole idea of, you started earlier with the whole idea around the fact that there's abundance, enough for everyone. It's continuously been the way our people have been thinking about the world forever. But then we got into this place around the fact that there's scarcity and we have to hoard and we swung the pendulum and went the other way. But I'm hearing you say, and I'm wondering, what's your experience about where is the world moving in that direction? But it feels to me that everybody's becoming aware of the idea that that doesn't work anymore. So can we change this thing? Is the world shifting in the line that you're talking?
I think that that's a rhetorical question and it answers itself. So we can say, is the world shifting? And then we can say the world is shifting.
Yes.
We can just take the question mark and put a dot at the end and make it a statement rather than a question. I love questions like that. Ones that answer themselves. Because people ask me often, are you for this or that? And I'll say, yes. I am, yes. And they're like, no, which one? I'm like, oh, no, I didn't. Why do I have to make a choice? Can it be both and?
Yes.
I'm for that. Yes. And it's this other way of thinking.
Yes.
That we don't have to be pigeonholed or put into a corner. That there are opportunities and possibilities.
Yes.
And we are grown-ups. That's another interesting thing. Being a grown-up is a fantastic experience.
Mm-hmm.
If people will ask me, I love working with students. And I remember being a child. I'm very, very intimately aware of myself as a child. I have conversations with my 8-year-old self all the time.
Yes.
I have a terrific relationship with the different versions of myself as a child. And would I trade being me for being them? No. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
I worked so hard to get here. And I enjoyed the experience of working hard to get here, to have this conversation with you genuinely to this moment. And that is modeling that for children, who's the message that I got growing up is that we get to stay children forever. We get to be children forever. Would a butterfly like to be a caterpillar forever? I don't think so. I mean, it's important that... The model of the caterpillar to butterflies is almost like a trope. It's almost like a cliche, and yet it still holds true.
It's very powerful.
The butterfly doesn't dwell on being a caterpillar. The butterfly is involved in expressing itself as a butterfly. It has evolved from that place where it crawled along the ground. And that was a wonderful experience. It ate the leaves. It did its own thing. But then it developed wings.
Yes.
And it experienced flight.
Yes.
Imagine.
And it was scary at first, I would imagine, because I've never been a butterfly or a caterpillar for that matter.
But going into a cocoon, that must have been terrifying.
Yeah, that transition must have been really terrifying.
Good point.
Because I think therein also lies hope, right? In all the transitions that we are working on, there's something lying on the other side. And now I want to talk to you about something that's your favorite topic that you talk to students about. But we need to take a quick 2 seconds break. We'll be back. And we'll talk to Mike about space and possibility of space after this. You are on Vugonline My Radio, and we are doing hope.
The Africa Center for Work-Based Learning is a professional development center for professionals who aim to improve their professional standing. This means that the learning programs we run are more than just academic programs. They are work-based programs that focus on leveraging your current experience as a professional to build your overall profile. A year down the line, the Africa Center for Work-Based Learning is developing into a preferred center for professional development in Pretoria, with 8 professional development faculties including accounting, teaching, entrepreneurship, as well as IT and many more. For more information, go to acwbl.org or dial +27 12 751 7608. The Africa Center for Work-Based Learning, where work is learning.
Stay woke with Voga Online Radio.
You are on Voga Online Radio, and we are doing hope. You know that Wednesday is Hope Day, and I hope... every time I say this now, it's an anchor. Every time I say, I hope, I'm very conscious of the hope that comes with that word. It's no longer just a word now. It's almost an incantation and a blessing, because I would almost say a curse, but it's not a curse. It's almost a blessing that you share with the world. So I hope you are having a really good time. You're inspired. Many people, when they listen to this show, and thanks to Westwood, thanks to Greg for agreeing that we do all of this nonsense, that I've got like, where do I even get a ride to have this kind of conversation? But I am grateful. You always say something, so I wanna read this, right? My goal is to make sure that every student I connect with importantly understands, 1, tomorrow's jobs are in space, and 2, they now have permission to live, work, and play in space. Why?
Oh, that's a great question. And the reason I have that conversation with students as opposed to grown-ups is because grown-ups will argue with me till they can't breathe, till I can't breathe, till we're red in the face, that we should not be wasting money on space. We should be working on important things like feeding people, like climate change, like medical and scientific breakthroughs to help all civilization, society. Mm. And I'm like, I cannot imagine a better thing to answer all of those questions than solving for space. Mm. There's a way of expressing it that I've explained to people. We can solve all the challenges we face on Earth, including health and energy and sustainability and justice and equity and diversity and inclusion. What Dr. Cyan Proctor, who is the astronaut who is the 4th Black woman to go to space, she calls it Jedi space. Justice, equity, diversity, inclusion. We can solve for the illusion of scarcity by solving for space. We can solve all the challenges we face on Earth by solving for space. Mm-hmm. If I have that discussion with a grown-up, oh my gosh, it becomes political. But when I talk about that with children, with students, students imagine possibilities. Students see the future. Students embody hope. They live in hope. And that is a wonderful experience. And I am won over by that, that they enroll me in that vision in all of the classrooms and all the students I get to talk with. And so by pointing a way to of solutions and choices and opportunities to students, and not just students in the U.S., for goodness sakes, that's ridiculous. Yes. Students all over the world. When I teach students in Haiti, in person, when I go to the islands, when I go to Mexico, when I travel to rural locations anywhere, and I have conversations with students, and I give them that sentence that you use, permission to imagine themselves living, working, and playing in space. Often, it's the first time that's ever happened. Like Haiti is a different environment than so many other places in the world. Yes. And students in Haiti are dealing with the most common and matter-of-fact issues and challenges on a day-in, day-out basis. My wife at the time, when we went to Jamaica last together, she was from Jamaica. And she had never seen the kind of, like, she hadn't had different experiences of people living in impoverished conditions. We walk outside where we were staying, where the church had put us up to stay at. We walk outside, we go half a block, and half a block down the street, she's already in full-blown tears, witnessing people's children's faces, and walking her through that, showing her how to make a difference. And it was great. We had an amazing experience. We were able to support people. We were able to support individuals. It's not what we can't do. It's what we are able to do. It's the reason we were there in the first place. We can drown in what we can't do.
Yes.
What we can do is enough. It does make a difference. Yes. It reminds me of that story of a friend of mine, Sir Peter Anderson, taught me about the starfish on the beach and two people walking down the beach and far away from each other. And on the beach is covered with starfish. It's at night. And I've been in places in the world like this where it's at night and unusual phenomenons will take place. And there's no one else around except for these two people. It's a full moonlit night. And on the shore, it's just littered with starfish, living starfish up on the shore as the tide is receding. And then in the distance, one person is walking and seeing another person coming this way. And they're doing something, but they can't make it out what it is.
Yeah.
And as they get closer and closer to one another, they see that that person is picking up the starfish on the beach and tossing them into the water. And there's thousands of starfish. And as they get closer and closer, the person says to the one person says to the other, "Hello, how are you?" And they says, "Hello, how are you?" in response. And then, because this is a question that we as grownups ask one another all the time in the face of the most obvious thing, the one says to the other, "What are you doing?"
Yeah.
And the one says back, "I'm throwing the starfish into the water." And the one person says, "Why? There's so many. You can't make a difference." Yes. And the other person picks up a starfish and tosses that starfish into the water and says, "It made a difference to that one."
Yes.
Wow. That is life.
Yes.
And when we all start picking up starfish and tossing them back into the water, when we all start lifting, when we all start helping, and the only way to do that isn't to tell people to do it, it's to show people.
Yes.
We show one another.
Yes.
With our actions.
Yes, yes. Which is always interesting how we're always waiting, right? For someone's, for a messiah, for government, for get on with it already. You have agency. And I'm hearing this, that if we take on our agency as humans to do what we absolutely need to do, we can actually shift.
That's a beautiful word. Beautiful word, agency. Beautiful word. We don't use it enough. Great, great choice. Thank you.
What's fascinating, Mike, with your work is that you also in a space, forgive the pun, where you go beyond what we see as the boundary. Because, you work with what we see as the boundary, because for us, this atmosphere and the blue sky is, we say the sky is the limit, right? It's a common phrase. But you know for sure it's not. I cannot imagine how that feels when you're now having to hang out with us mere mortals.
You leave a man down a path, and then you'd surprise them where they're bringing them. You're like, look, a waterfall.
I just cannot imagine it, because it blows my mind to realize the possibility of living beyond what you think is a boundary.
I see. So,
do you ever get hopeless?
Despondent. Mm. Without my friends, I would be hopeless. Mm. Without the people I care about, I don't even like to entertain the idea, because without my children, my sons, my family. Without conversations like this, would that not make me hopeless? That I would look, what if all of that disappeared suddenly? My goodness,
yeah.
And that would be treacherous. Yeah. Well, there is a few ideas I carry with me to deal with these situations. Though I want you to know that now that we've got to this level of conversation, I went through and explored life, and I carried a premise with me. I went and tested it. That premise is that everything always works out. That's my premise. Mm-hmm. And I went and put it to the test. Mm-hmm. And it is now my experience. It's my testimony that everything does always work out. It may appear that it doesn't. That is an illusion. Mm-hmm. I am so trusting in what we call God or the universe or the way, that I know that no matter what happens, that it always works out. No matter how, it is not that it's going to be a pleasurable or a desirable outcome immediately. Mm-hmm. And I walk with a faith, with a trust. It is just, it's the faith in a sentence.
Yeah.
Everything always works out. That's where my faith is.
Yeah.
The truth makes me laugh, because sometimes I've been in situations where my own head has become my enemy. Yes. My own head tells me lies. I can imagine a person so confused that their head tells them that you must harm someone else. You must do harm to other people. And we listen to those lies sometimes. Yeah. I've trained myself to recognize those lies, because they don't make me laugh. And I'm not talking about a maniacal laughter. I'm talking about a laughter of joy. Yes. They don't make that. Once, when I was going to a wedding, and I misplaced my car keys long ago. And I'm in the house, and I'm looking through my office and the whole thing. I'm dressed. I'm ready to go. I'm in a hurry. I'm flummoxed. And I say out loud, "What are you, stupid?" No one else was at the house. It was me talking to me. Mungezi, so help me goodness, what I did next?
Yes.
I sat down.
Yes.
And I said, "What did you just say?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I said, "Who are you talking to?"
Yes.
I said, "We don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah.
I will sit right here. Because I don't talk to people that way. I don't talk to any other person that way. No, why would I talk to myself that way?"
Wow.
And I want you to know, sir, that voice went quiet.
Yes, I can imagine. Voice,
it wanted to go for the ride.
Yeah.
And it understood very quickly. I was not kidding around.
Wow.
I'm done. I don't talk to people that way. For goodness sakes, I will not speak to myself that way. What am I, stupid? Not in the least.
Yeah.
Do I make accents? Sure, mistakes, of course. But oh my goodness, we get to, and so those voices, that way that we talk with ourselves, is extraordinarily important.
I love this because we do that a lot. And then you find, and these are the stories that we carry around with us for the rest of our lives. And we get into spaces of dissonance where the world is telling us how amazing, how beautiful, how we contribute, how lovely, how, I don't know, whatever the blessings and the gifts that you bring into the world. And we keep saying, oh no, stop. Oh no, I can't. Oh no. Because of that. That is so powerful. We need to take a last piece of music. And then when we come back, there are two things that we're wrapping up with. One, think about a challenge you're going to be giving to the world. Whoever is that's listening, what's the one challenge you want to give them after this conversation? And there's a sentence I always ask people, just before we wrap up the show, and I'll bring that to you. You are on the Hope Maker Show, and we've been talking quite a while, and I'm just giving you space to go. As a result of what Mike has just said, that was powerful. I need a break. We'll be back after this.
The home of inspiration every day.
Most people give up on themselves easily. You know the human spirit is powerful.
From news.
Countries across the globe have been hit by the COVID-19 virus.
Views.
There's a global trend to see an increase in GBV incidences, specifically domestic violence.
Sports.
What do you say? It's a really good goal. It's Shabalala.
And music to inspire you every day. This is VUGA Online, your inspiration radio station.
Stay woke with VUGA Online Radio.
You are on Hope Maker Show, and these are our last few minutes with Mike Mungo. And we are talking about hope. We are talking about faith. I liked your construction of faith, because many people work with faith as if you have to go to church. But I like that simple line, everything always works out. Because it's a great anchor to just get out of the noise in your head and all the scenarios you're building and just be here with that truth. It's powerful. What we haven't done, which is fascinating, we haven't spoken about your glasses.
Oh, yes. So, you know, as I pointed out, I have these conversations with students, but I also get to have the conversation with grownups. Yes. Getting people's attention, I don't have time with them for a long time, and it's important. And these days, grownups, students immediately, this is so funny, because I walk into a classroom and we had this entire conversation, and here we are now, and you bring up the glasses.
Yes.
This parallels my experience 100%. Yes. If I walk into a classroom with students, it's the very first thing they say.
Yes.
Grown-ups.
Yes.
I have worked with Mangezi. I've worked with people for 3 days.
Yes.
For days. And then they will saddle up next to me and they're like now we're friends. So they're like, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
like they're going to ask my birth sign. They're going to ask my mom's name. No, they're going to ask why are my glasses like this? And it is so that I have people's attention. And because it's important to get people's attention when we have something worth hearing, that we're sharing, something to hear, something that's worth sharing.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point, is that I get people's attention because I have something that is important and worth sharing. And that is, tomorrow's jobs are in space.
Yes, yes. I love that. I love that principle. Getting people's attention is easy. And what's important is having something to say that's worth hearing. This is also connected because, and you can't do that if you keep sharing all of these negative stories about yourself, first of all, to yourself, and all of them. Complete the sentence. What the world needs now is... dot, 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 dot.
It's going to be perspective, and that's in reference to what I said earlier, that human beings have evolved and we live alongside Homo sapiens, I'm not being metaphoric. It is my conjecture that that is actually the case. And what we're witnessing, the conflict that we see in the world, is all of us living alongside Homo sapien. Yeah. Homo sapien decided not to evolve. And we, on the other hand, are imagining a place that where everything works out for everyone all the time without harm to anyone.
Yes.
And when I pose that query, like, imagine what it looks like for everything to work out all the time without harm to anyone. Yes. To people will jump out of their seats and respond violently. That's impossible. And then I respond that we are grownups and we are able to entertain two ideas in our head at the same time. So let's take the idea that we've been taught and trained, that we've led ourselves to believe that everything working out all the time for everyone without harm to anyone is impossible. And let's put it on a cognitive shelf in our head, in our mind. We're going to put it right there. We're not in argument with that idea. All we're doing is entertaining. What would it look like for a world where everything works out for everyone all the time without harm to anyone? Because when we entertain that idea, it opens up the possibility. It opens up, we entertain vision. We entertain even delight. We entertain wonder. We entertain possibility. These are what we want in the world. Do we want, as you mentioned, do we want a world of dire consequences, of dismal qualities, of the news, the reports, it's the end of the world and there's nothing that we can do about it? Well, okay, so it's the end of the world. There's nothing I can do about it. Great. Now I'm free to go on and live my own life. Who am I? What am I doing here? How can I help? Oh. When I explain to students all the time this very simple truth, want to succeed, want a formula to succeed 100% of the time, a no-fail formula to succeed 100% all the time. Mangezi, here it is. Do what you love with who you love and help others. Yes. When we do what we love with who we love and we help others, we cannot fail. It is impossible to fail. Impossible. Yeah. Do what we love with who we love and help others.
That's a powerful note to leave it on. So here's a challenge then. What's the challenge you're going to give to the world?
All right. I'm here for this. This is so good. Yes. I appreciate this opportunity. I challenge, because we started this conversation with time, let's finish it with time. I challenge everyone to recontextualize our memories of what we've been through as younger people, as children, as young adults, whatever. Go and visit those moments when we've experienced both the worst times and the best times, the traumas and the celebrations. And when we find one that we are just punished by, be there as the grown-up we are right now and visit with that person, not as a static memory that's like a YouTube video that we replay over and over and relive that trauma and relive it. Be the person you need to support you in that role in the memory. Don't think of time as static. Think of that memory as a place that you, as the grown-up that we are, can visit and support them. When I was a child, I needed someone like me. And now I go and I visit. I have gone through all my memories and I process them this way. There was a time when I was attacked as a 7-year-old. And I, as a grown-up, go there and I make space in that memory for that 7-year-old. I clear out those anybody doing harm. And I don't do it with force. I do it with an idea.
Yes.
And then I dare. And then I support that 7-year-old that I was and let them know how much love I have for them. Yes. Then there was another time when I was in high school. At ninth grade, I was 14 years old. I know nothing. And a grown-up posed a query to us. They said, here's your choice. You have one choice. All of your classes are decided. You can choose typewriting. This is 1981. You can choose, or 79. You can choose typewriting, which is the most important lesson that you'll probably learn in your entire high school career. It'll almost certainly guarantee that you have a job afterwards. And you will definitely be able to get a job having typing, or you can take computers, choose. Yeah. Yeah. They posed it like that. You can take typing, which is the most important class you'll take this entire, or you can take computers. out of 200 students, four of us chose computers in 1979.
Wow.
One of them was me. And one of them was in that same class was William Baer. William Baer, William, his last name is Baer, the billionaire. In that class, the four of us chose computers out of 200 students because they posed it to us that way. I want you to know, Mungezi, I go back to that memory of that 14-year-old who knows nothing.
Yes.
And I am, every version of myself is right there celebrating him. Choose computers. I'm supporting him in making that excellent decision he made that paved the way for my success here in the future.
Yeah.
I mean, so help me goodness. My challenge to everyone is go through your memories. Stop replaying them like YouTube videos. Drop into them like they're video games. Only in real life, be present to that person. If you are somebody in need, if you have a memory where you need somebody, be that person you need. If you have a memory that developed and made you who you are today and you are proud of them, be there for them and celebrate them. My challenge to you is to live with our memories in a way that is dynamic rather than static.
Yeah. Pow, pow, pow. Wow.
How's that? All right.
You got me there. You got me there. And I'm hoping he got you because that's a challenge. That's a real challenge. It's not a play. Thank you, man. Thank you, Mike. Thank you so much for all this energy and all the lessons. Before we wrap up, we always close the show with a song. What song can I play for you?
Oh, I love the song "No Woman, No Cry." It's in my head all the time. We get to celebrate people who are women.
Yeah,
it's an important truth. Yes,
"No Woman, No Cry."
Thank you.
We will be playing. This was my conversation with Mike Mungo, an astronaut teacher, author of children's books, vice president of. Hey, let's call him Vice President of Space, man. That's just
I'm going to space, Mungezi. I'm going to space.
Yes.
I mean, like, wow, I'm 57.
Oh, and I like that most of the time when I spend time teaching in schools and connecting with students in classrooms around the world to make sure that every student understands tomorrow's jobs are in space and they now have permission. To live, work, and play in space. And you have too, my dear listener, if you really want to. That's yet another challenge. Mike, thank you so much, man. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your energy. Thank you for all that you've shared. And to you, the listener, I leave you with my regular message. Until we meet again, hope is the seed of data in our heads that tells us it will be all right if we nurture it. Just breathe. See you next week. And we're out. Hey, man, thank you so much. This was amazing.
It was a joy. Thank you.
I promise you, I've never done this with anyone. While we're talking, I received a message on my phone because I was teaching at our... Yesterday, I was teaching at our Center for Research, Industrial Research, which is linked to, it's a government agency that comes up with all of the interesting research in the country. So I was teaching there yesterday, and I've just received the message that they want to see me again next week. That's how excited they were. But what was happening in my mind while you and I were talking was, oh, wow. All the stuff that I was teaching them like yesterday and the day before yesterday are all contained in this one video. So this is actually an instruction for them going forward. I don't have to say anything. I just send them this. I go like, go and watch this for an hour and then come back. Let's talk about where you're going next because I don't need to be teaching this thing. So thank you for this gift.
All blessings. That's wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Does Joey have your picture, your high resolution picture?
I don't know. I can email it.
I'll ask her to get I'll ask her to get in touch with you to collect that, and then she will let you know when this is going to be on air because we were not live, and you can share it with your students as well.
Thank you. I look forward to it.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Okay. Keep up the good work.
Have
this
a lovely
afternoon. This is important. It's not an alternative.
Yeah.
It's not. This is the direction. Not working out is the alternative.
Yes.
That's what's being presented as the choice.
As if it's a choice. Yes. Not an option at all. Yeah.
Exactly. It's not an option.
Thank you, man. Have a lovely
day. All right. Blessings. Pow, pow, pow.